This morning we'll be reading from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're in a sermon series called You Belong Here, and we're talking about what it means to be in community with each other. How do we do that? And so I wonder if you would pray for me and with me as we enter into the time of the sermon. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. You are our strength and our Redeemer. And there's a conversation, Lord, that only you can have, that only the Holy Spirit can have with those who gather on any given Sunday, whether they're online and watching at a distance or whether they're here in the sanctuary. Make every space a sanctuary, and make every space the space where you speak to each of us and to us collectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's odd, we're talking about community, but when I sat down to think about this and begin work on the sermon, I wasn't thinking about being with other people so much as I was thinking about just how great it is some days to be alone. Do you ever feel that way? I don't want to create any tension, but you know, when you come home and there's that, and you go, "Hello," and you realize, wait a minute, nobody's here. And then there's a note on the counter and it says, "We went out, be back at 7. And you think, "Oh, I'm alone," right? Like some days alone is very good. Because there's something about being in a space that is all your own, and you can eat what you want to eat, you can watch or listen to what you want to enjoy, and the quiet, the blessed quiet of alone, every so often, is just to sit in a chair by yourself, to recline on a couch, to lay in a hammock. Are you with me? To lay in a hammock. And close your eyes. You know that moment where you close your eyes and you realize there's not going to be an interruption here? Do you know what I'm talking about? And I began to think about, what is that emotion? What's that feeling? And the word I came up with, I never get to use this word, so I'm pretty excited about it. The word is sublime. You know that word? Sublime speaks to sort of beauty that's inspirational in nature. It's just like, but when you just have that moment when your mind's at rest, isn't that a great thing? So to be alone, and you know, God uniquely meets us when we're alone. Shoot, I may just do a whole sermon on being alone. But there's also that time when alone, there's just a fine line, isn't there? There's a fine line between being alone and the joy of that and the experience of that where God's with us or we're at rest, we're in Sabbath. But then there's this short distance between being alone and being lonely. And lonely is different from being alone. Lonely, in fact, you know what? You can be lonely in a crowd. Have you ever noticed that? You can be lonely at work when you realize I'm just not like the other people around me. Like I don't like what's going on here. So lonely can be by yourself, but it can also be everywhere you go. And God has called us to the experience of community. And community is God's answer to loneliness. So we will always find a unique joy in being alone, and yet God, I think, doesn't want us to be lonely. Sometimes you will be lonely, by the way. Lonely is a part of being human. So you have to learn to be okay with being lonely, but it's not where you want to live. It's not where you want to build your house in lonely. That's why the news that you belong here is such good news. And I've been trying to understand, think about why it is that we like to belong. And I think it's basically we just long for the company of others. We long to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, and we long to be something, a part of something that's bigger than the sum of all of our parts. That's what community is. It's what's bigger than the sum of all of us together. And the dynamics of community are hard to figure out. I've been thinking this week about our preschool that's going to start up this coming week, downstairs, bottom floor, down there by the playgrounds, all those classrooms. It's going to get busy this week. Some of the kids were in at different times meeting teachers and things last week, but preschool starts this week, and I'm going to make a prediction, and this is crazy, and some of you may walk up to me after and say, that'll never happen, but I think it will. I think there will be tears. I think maybe there will be some tears, especially amongst the kids who have never been to preschool before, who are walking in for the very first time. But even some of the kids who have been before, and I've been thinking about it, because when school started last week or 2 weeks ago, depending on where you live, there are tears when school starts. And it's not just the parents, right? It's the kids, right? So the different set of tears. But the point is, the kids go to get on the bus, or the kids walk into the preschool room, and as they walk into the preschool room, there's a contrast that they're experiencing. The contrast is, at home, most children at home, vast majority of children at home, feel like they belong, right? It's safe at home. It's community at home. It's people that love me at home. It's, or at least it's familiar at home, my stuff, my things. But then they get dropped off in a preschool room, and it's this feeling of alone or lonely. Why? Because I don't know these kids. These aren't my people. Those are my people. And that teacher, who knows what that is? That's an authority figure without definition. We don't know. That's the first day of preschool. And that contrast between connection and community and uncertainty, that's the space of anxiety. I have a prediction about preschool, about the last week of preschool. Again, I may be wrong, but on the last week of preschool, when we get to the spring, to the late spring, May, I have a prediction. Now, I've only been doing this 22 years now, so I may be wrong this year. There will be tears. And the reason is, by that time, these other kids are not just other kids, they are my people. This is my class. This is not my class. This is, what's the word? Our class. And the teacher, she. In our preschool, they just happen to all be women, but she is fabulous. I still remember my kindergarten teacher. I went to kindergarten in church, much like a preschool, Mrs. Wise Carver. How do I remember that? That's been a couple of years ago. But I still remember Mrs. Wise Carver. Why? She created a community. So there will be tears when we realize this community, as we've enjoyed it at this time, is something we have to step out of. Our whole life is a search for our people. Our whole life is a search for community, and God's made you this way. The reason that you have a longing for community is it's exactly how you were created. And from the beginning of time, the Bible tells us that God calls people into community. And the Lord created Adam, and Adam met all the other creatures, and the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be what? Alone. But I think the sense of the word is more lonely. We're always on a search. Wouldn't it be great if we could just find that perfect place where we feel like we belong? Wouldn't it be great? Because I think most of us resonate with the idea of community. It's the discovery of it that's hard. The Bible says that the people of Israel were first called the people of God, and then that same phrasing is used for the church in the New Testament. The people of God. It's a statement about community. It's finding your people. So the first thing I want to say is that Christ calls us to community, and we see that in Acts 1. It's after Acts 1 in the book of Acts, when we get to the Acts of the Apostle, we're in the period, Jesus' three-year ministry, teaching, miracles, and then the crucifixion, the crisis of the crucifixion, where Christ dies on a cross, and then the power of the resurrection, Jesus resurrected from the dead, Jesus appearing to his disciples for a period, the book of Acts says, for about 40 days. For about 40 days, Jesus appears to them, and in one of the last times he appears to them, we find this phrase, and he's gathered them at a meal. Jesus does this a lot. Why does Jesus gather people at meals? Because that's where you feel community, right? Isn't it weird? You can meet people for the first time and have a meal and feel like you're just like this. Well, I don't even know what the alchemy of eating together is, but there's something really significant about it. And at that meal, Jesus says to his disciples, hey, everybody, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't scatter. Why? Because they probably wanted to go back to their old life. They wanted to go back to Galilee and go fishing. They wanted to go back to their old jobs. What are we going to do now? Jesus is gone. Jesus is gone. Community is broken. And he says, don't do that. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. Just wait. Don't scatter. Gather. Gather into community. This is what the Bible tells us to do. Gather together. You remember the old hymn, right? We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Why does that tune stick with me after all these years? It's an old Puritan tune. Because the calling of community. And I think everybody really wants to be chosen deep in their hearts. Tim Ward over at Restoration at our other campus, Tim got to go to Alaska with a group of clergy. And I was like, Tim, that is fabulous continuing education. Well done, sir. They got to go to Denali National Park. I mean, just a really great trip. And Tim said one of the really fun things they did is they heard a lecture on sled dogs. And how the trainers train sled dogs and how they get them to all the dogs have to use their gifts, right? And there's different dogs do different things and different dogs have different strengths and they put them in the harness. And he said the trainer kept saying, and all the dogs want to run, all the dogs want to get in the harness. And Tim was thinking, I don't know, running through the snow, you know, does that really what all the dogs want to do? And he said, then they took them over to where the dogs were in the pens. And they brought out the sled, and he said, as soon as they brought out the sled and the ropes, every dog went crazy, and it looked like this. That's my paradise. Listen to those dogs, and look at the dogs in the pens running around in the back. Look at the one in the foreground on the right. Look at that dog. What's he saying? He's saying, choose me. Choose me. And Tim said that the video doesn't quite capture the energy that he saw. Every dog, choose me, choose me. And he said when they put the dogs in the harness, they were just wrenching at the ropes from the very beginning, just ready to run. And I think around you, one of the most unfortunate things about human beings is they don't bark. Because I think around you right now, there are people who are going, choose me. Like, help me get into community. Help me feel like I know somebody, like I'm connected. Help me. But humans don't bark. And that's a downside to us. And so church community is all about choosing. And the good news is you've already been chosen. But the bad news is we also have to choose. Maybe that's also good news. Christ chooses us. Make no mistake about that. Christ chooses us. You've been chosen just like the first disciples. And you may be thinking, Tom, when was I chosen? When did Christ choose me? Friends, do you know when you were chosen? Before you were created, you were chosen. What Christians believe that when you were created, and I believe in all, you know, we know the biology and the physiology of all that, how that happens, but we also theologically believe that every human being created was created with the image of God being impressed, embossed right onto their soul. There is a beauty in you that is unique to you. And it's not an expression of just you, else you'd be self-centered. You'd be walking around going, oh, look at me, that's not what you do. No. It's a reflection of God's beauty as the one who created you. So when we celebrate your life, we celebrate what God put on you when you were chosen. And if you're here, you're chosen. Every life that's ever been created was a chosen life. And you get chosen when you were given certain strengths. You know, we had that strength finder survey that we all did, and many of you were sort of humble about, well, look, I've got some strengths. Well, of course you do. Of course you've got spiritual gifts. Why? Because God chose to give them to you. To not believe that you have them, to let low self-esteem say that you don't have them, is a way of saying, I'm not chosen, everybody else is. And so part of what we've got to do is get the bark in you to say, I can do it. I want to get in the ropes and be a part of the team. You were chosen. When you came forward, sometimes like maybe it'll be this morning when you come to receive Holy Communion, you put your hands out like this. And in our church, we ask you to put your hands out to receive a gift. Don't grab. Don't be grabby at communion. Right? It's theologically incorrect, that's why. Put your hand out with a posture of humility. But trust me, everybody who comes is chosen. But sometimes there's this deeper transaction in our hearts where we kneel here or we sit in these pews after we receive communion and we say, God, I've got a sin I've got to confess. Or God, I've got a hardship I've got to release. And you know what it's like to ask God for forgiveness or to offer God that hardship and to feel the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, chosen. It's such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful thing. And it's odd how it causes us to then choose other people. How sharing a burden, you know, and taking a burden to God. I prayed with the Summerhill family who were in North Carolina this week after their son died. And I don't even know the parents, but I know Lauren, who used to attend here in high school and in college before she moved to New York. And Karen knows her better than I do because she volunteered in our buddy ministry. And when she said, hey, could you pray? I was like, oh my goodness, yes. And their son died of a lightning strike. And it was interesting how praying for them in that moment has led me to feel connected all weekend better. This happened Friday. But praying prior to that, there's something about choosing that creates community. And community happens in hardship, and you've been chosen over and over in your life. You were chosen when the Holy Spirit tapped you on the shoulder, as I talked about last week, how many times the Holy Spirit has tapped you on the shoulder throughout your life, saying, hey, do this. Hey, come do be a part of that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't club us over the head. It just taps us on the shoulder. It's gentle. Every so often, it's not so gentle. But when it's asking us to do something, it tends to be gentle. Tends to be. Christ chooses us. And I'm so glad that God doesn't choose us the way they used to when I was in school, in gym class. You remember the old days? I don't think they do this anymore, but in the old days, the teacher didn't put you in groups. A gym teacher straightened me out after the 8 o'clock service. It's one of the things I love about Florist. There's always going to be a content expert that's going to be like, yeah, they don't do that one anymore, blessedly. And she said, we don't let kids make the teams anymore. I said, because what I said is, it's not like when you're in gym class and God doesn't go, hey, I want him and her. Do I have to take him? Why? Because in gym class, you had to be fastest. You had to be most talented, coordinated. That's when I was growing up. But what God does is go, oh, and I definitely want him and her, because those two have things in them that they don't even know about, and I'm going to unlock them. You're chosen. But with being chosen comes the choosing. Because see, what we would like God to do, what we like Jesus to do, is we'd like Jesus to create the community for us. We'd like Jesus, and this is magic wand theology, where we want Jesus to come in to the room with a magic wand, and that's the stuff of fairy tales, not the Bible. And we like Jesus to go, wonderful community. Wouldn't that be a great church to go to? Have an awesome pastor. Perfect music. I can't wait for the wonderful pastor to come. I've been waiting for him or her to show up for a long time. Are they back there, Bob? Behind the fountain? And the wonderful congregation? Wouldn't it be great if you could just come in and be with people you just love all the time? You always agreed with? But it's not what you get when you go to church, is it? Hey, you know what you get when you go to church? People, God's chosen ones. And they're all flawed. And yet, you know what the calling is in the church? Is to create the community and to choose the community, because Jesus doesn't come in with a wand and say, I'm going to make it a wonderful church with a wonderful pastor and wonderful people so that you can just come and enjoy the wonderful every week and all through the week. No. Church is about a group of people choosing community. And you know what? The work of community is hard. And sometimes you're 10 feet away from it. You're 10 feet away. And I know with the live stream, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn my back to you, which they tell you never do with live stream. But what do I care about rules, right? So sometimes we're 10 feet away from community. And maybe there's somebody sitting right over there who's having a bad week or a bad day, and she's internally barking, hoping that somebody's going to pay attention to her. But humans don't bark. And so what God expects me to do is to notice people around me and to actually get up. And not just during the greeting time, but what would happen if you attended the church where people, before the service began and after it ended, intentionally reached out to people they don't even know and said, you know what, you've been sitting there for a while and I've been sitting over there. I'm Tom, and I don't know that we've met. And yeah, we have met a time or two, haven't we? Yeah, I'm picking on Katie because she knows that. But what if we had the church where we found people interesting and we were curious? And people that weren't like us. People who were different from us, we intentionally sought them out. And maybe we even said, hey, you know what? We've been going to church all these years. You ever go get coffee after church? Because community is always chosen and we create it. And Jesus said this. The disciples said, oh, I don't even know what text I'm on. Go to the next. Let's see what's up here. Let's see what's next. Yeah, the disciples said, Lord, are what? You at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel. This is another great thing that we do. We remember things better than they were. They're referring to the time of King David. If you read the Bible about the time of King David, it wasn't that great of a time. But they remembered it as this great time because they actually weren't there. So that was like the wonderful church. The wonderful church doesn't exist, folks, until we create community, and then it is wonderful. And then Jesus looks at them and Jesus says this back. Look at the next verse. No. You will be my witnesses. And you'll go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, you. They're saying, Lord, will you? He's going, no, no, no. You. Remember the time Jesus did the miracle? He was teaching. There were all those thousands of people gathered. And he says, and one of them walks up and they're like, hey, Jesus, you ought to let them go because it's time to, they need to go get something to eat. And Jesus looks at them and he goes, why don't you give them something to eat? And he pushes. This is what I love about Jesus. He's always pushing back on us. Why? Because he knows we have the capacity to do the thing that we long for the most. Do we have the passage about the power? And then he makes us a promise. You're not going to have to do it alone. So if you think I'm saying we're going to do this on our own and we've got the power and human beings are so terrific that we can accomplish anything we want, I'm somebody who doesn't believe that. I'll be honest with you, I would be a terrible humanist because I've been with too many people. I think that people who believe in the utter perfection of humanity haven't spent much time with people. And I love people, like I love many of you, but here's the deal. If you're going to live in community, it is sometimes going to be disappointing. People are sometimes going to disappoint you. That's a part of the package with broken people. And guess what? Everybody in this room, and I know a lot of you, you've all got some points of brokenness. And guess what? So do I. But just because we sometimes disappoint people and each other, doesn't mean we can't choose the Holy Spirit-driven community. And I'm so grateful that Jesus said, if you can just leave that back up there, I'm so glad that Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. So he said, stay gathered. A lot of people in America want pure communities right now. That's what I'm noticing as a trend. They want pure communities where everybody looks the same, or where everybody thinks the same, or where everybody votes the same, or where everybody on every issue is just of one mind. And I don't. The core of the gospel, absolutely. The core of the Christian faith, absolutely. But can I just tell you something? I've been sanctified in the tension of people that I've learned from. I've been sanctified in the love of Jesus Christ, not through the similarities, but through the differences. The people whose stories I've come to hear, the people who challenged me, the people who sometimes frustrated me, the people who didn't look like me or have my accent or speak the way I speak. I have been sanctified in the love of Jesus Christ, and I have a richer and fuller life because I choose community. That's a choice we all have to make. But Jesus says when you choose it, you will receive power. And I'm so glad for that. Because people will kind of wear you out sometimes, amen? Shoot. I don't even get people I agree with all the time in the thing called my family. But oh my goodness, the love you hold for those people, the love you, oh my goodness, your heart, doesn't your heart become so full of people you choose? May our experience of church be that, having been chosen. As Bob comes up and we're going to receive Holy Communion, I just remind you of one last scripture in Colossians 2. As God's chosen ones, said the Apostle Paul, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if any has a complaint against the other, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also shall forgive one another, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. You have to choose. Amen.